Hello, Fife fans, and welcome to Scotland's premier Fife-based podcast, Fife Club, where a few friends get together and talk about anything and everything that takes our fancy, putting the world to rights. With my good self, Jamie, on the cutch.
Hold on.
He's on the cutch.
I'm on the cutch.
Are we just skipping the first rule now?
Yeah.
This is what happens
when cutch isn't here. Jesus, everything just goes mental.
There's no fucking rules anymore.
There's no.
It's anarchy.
No rules. It's pure anarchy. But if there wasn't, then what's the first rule of Fife Club?
Talk about Fife Club, all right?
Yeah, without hitting the table, James.
Sorry.
Pops on the mic. Come on.
Okay.
Now who's anarchy?
Jesus, talk about Fife Club, but remain calm.
Yeah.
You took me off my positivity train. I was looking forward to it, and you're like,
Straight into James's world of violence.
Yeah.
That's
what happens
when you
don't stay
there. There's a lot of leather in here.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, you know, on the mics with my good self, Ka Jamie, tonight. He's a bear in every sense of the word. It's Dave. And he's like a wolverine. He looks cute, but if you come close to him, he will cut you with his fucking adamantium claws. Is James.
Yes, I will. That's a good one, actually. I quite like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's not bad. Yeah. See, I didn't write anything I ever cut, but I just came up with it on the spot.
Yeah.
That's 2 weeks in a row I've done that.
Yeah.
He even called himself a Kaji.
I did.
Yeah.
That one was on purpose, unlike the first one. But so, Dave, would you like to give us the socials?
Fuck a target.
You can talk to us on Facebook at Fife Club.
Yes.
At Twitter of Fife Club Pod. At Fife Club Pod.
Yeah.
Instagram Fife Club.
Yeah. Email?
Email us at ken@fifeclub.co.uk.
Aye.
Or just fucking Google us.
Yes.
Yay. There we go.
Sound? There you go. I must have been listening at some point.
Yeah. Unlike all of our listeners.
Yeah.
But that was like, you know, when you go to school and like you go in, like you sit in your class, like you go through all these lessons, you don't really take it. And it's like, so we're going to be taking a test on this today. I hope you learned everything. Oh, fuck.
I hope you silly fuckers have been listening.
Yeah. Pop quiz.
Truth is, I haven't.
Oh, and you can also go on our shiny website and see what we've been up to and buy our shit and help support us, and you get semi-okay fashion accessories in exchange.
Yeah, on fifeclub.co.uk. You can buy duffel bags, you can buy t-shirts, you can buy hats, you can buy a cuddly toy. It's like the generation game, but shit.
You can buy a bib.
And you can buy a bib, yes. Can. For who, Jamie?
Well, Kutch isn't here because last week, I think, the silent producer may have actually been in labour when we were recording.
Yeah.
I don't want to even hear it. Yeah, I think
no,
it might be
on that very day.
I mean, I don't want to come out and say I'm a clairvoyant, but I do believe when I introed the show, I kind of said that we may or may not have had a baby on the way as it was coming during record the podcast.
I don't know if that would count, though, because that's like I may or may not be pissing myself right now. None of us ever know.
Yeah.
I know.
Schrodinger's pissy pants. Well, so Kutch and the silent producer have been blessed with a beautiful baby girl. Got 10 fingers, 10 toes, all that good stuff. She's lovely. I met her. Got in before a lot of the family. Fuck you, family.
Wow.
That's the spirit.
Yeah. But no, really lovely. Giving her Uncle Jamie all the cuddles.
Oh.
Asleep most of the time I was there, but that isn't the point.
Welcome
back.
Pretending to be asleep while you were there.
Yeah,
just
go away.
This guy's banter.
Oh, shite. So shite.
So, welcome to the Fife Club, Baba Kutch.
Yeah.
Welcome to Fife, Scotland, and the rest of the world, Baby McCutcheon.
Yeah. And congratulations to the silent producer and Kutch, mainly the silent producer. Kutch didn't do much, let's be honest.
Nah.
But, you know, yeah. Congratulations to all of them.
Yeah, absolutely. Well done, guys.
Yeah. So, moving on to important Fife Club business, I believe that someone has been identifying as coming from a different age.
Yeah.
Now, when you first said this on the chat, I was like, is this someone identifying as like 80-year-old who's like 20? But no, I was wrong. Yeah. Please explain it to us.
Well, so it's like a guy that's like, what, 19? 1920?
Yep.
And
1820
is closer to the time he identifies as.
Yes. So, but I mean, that's his actual age, was like 19 or 20. But yeah, oh shit, I missed a joke. Sorry. Pause.
Sorry, I'm going to explain them all to me. It'll be fine.
James has control of the editing this week, so if that gets edited out, you know it's James's account.
You know, there's a few bits and pieces I did cut out of like my intros and stuff from like the last podcast.
No, it's going to turn out the funniest bit of the whole night as well.
Yeah. They'll keep that in. But yeah, there was like this guy who was like, he decided for whatever reason, whatever came crossing through his mind, he decided he identified from like the 1820s now. So, and he did this sort of ceremonial burning of his jeans before he'd done it. Like this weird emotional transition of like, I'm going to put on this like, oh shit, is that the costume he wears? Like, I've not actually seen him, but holy fuck.
Yeah, man, the man wears a cape. He dresses like Jack the Ripper. Yeah, and I'm sorry, if someone identifies as someone who shouldn't wear jeans anymore, that just tells you one thing about them.
Yeah, he looks like how Jacob Rees-Mogg feels on the how inside.
How he wants, yeah.
Wishes he that, could look.
Yeah, that's like, you know that scene from, what was it, Silence of the Lambs? It's like, you sit like a Reese Morgan in front of a mirror dressed like that. It's like,
would you fuck me?
That would fuck me. He bet he does that, just with the top hat and all, twirling his cane.
He must, yeah. But only him. Yeah. It's only him that wants to do it.
Yeah. So yeah, he's dressed, I think, all in white, cravat sort of thing, top hat.
Yeah,
cane.
He's got like a wardrobe, man.
I have seen some people say, well, actually, a lot of that stuff wouldn't go together with the time periods it came from. They're slightly different.
Totally. So. Well, if it's from 1820, for starters, it would be a taller hat. Also.
Oh, Dave, I didn't realise you were such a...
This motherfucker, if he's going to do it, you got to do it right.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, but the fact, like, I don't know, like, he's walking about in a double-breasted suit with pantaloons as well. Like, actual pantaloons with a fold-down bit for pissing out of.
Really? Wait a minute. I just got... I didn't realise that pantaloons... Of course we do. It's like a button thing, isn't it?
It's like a fold-down cod piece, if you like, which this guy, coincidentally, is...
Yes.
He's a fucking codpiece.
Don't be so quick to judge, Dave. I think these pantaloons are... I'm interested.
They've got a
full-time bit. Right. Well, who's got... You know, I've caught my dick in my zip a couple of times in my life. It is not enjoyable. This would get rid of all this.
Not once have I caught my dick in my pantaloons.
So, yeah, exactly. Never mind. Yeah.
He's only something there. He's cracking up.
A cheeky wee button up. You get a nice wee through draft at times as well. Yeah. Things could be worse.
You know, fair to the guy. He does look like he looks after himself. So do you think, see when he goes to the gym, know how like we go on like bikes and stuff to train? Does he get on a penny farthing?
I hope so.
He just jumps on this big fucking giant wheel.
A penny farthing that drives a water wheel.
Yes.
Tremendous. He's got to. That's it. Yeah. Like, he takes time out of his day to get on his bone rattler and do his bit. Like,
yeah. It's like, it's really weird how like folk decide, like, is it a genuine thing? Are they just doing this just for attention's sake? It's really strange.
I think if he's made a ceremony out of burning his jeans.
Burned his jeans.
I think, and now he's on the internet with shitloads of photographs.
Yeah.
It's starting to turn. Having said that, it depends how long he's been doing this for.
Well, that's the other thing. Like, if he really does identify as that, then what is he doing with a mobile phone? And what's he doing on the internet? What's he doing with electricity, for that matter, or a working, functioning toilet?
He's on Instagram under @1820swanker.
Yeah. Something doesn't seem right about this guy. But it's weird. But then you get other folk. Like, there's a guy, was it last year? That had this whole thing, he went to court because he decided he wanted to identify himself as 20 years younger than he actually was.
Yeah.
Like he's 40-year-old, but he decided, oh, I'm actually 23.
Aye.
And he had to go to court to try and like legally change his age.
I think that's the thing though, like there's people with real, you know, just using the word identity isn't enough because it's an identity, it's who they are.
Yeah.
You know, who have to go through, like we've had the GDPR, Gender Recognition Act, like rescheduled, basically kicked into the long grass in Scotland for a while, really harming people's lives. But then you have wankers like this. Well, this guy, to be fair, he just seems, oh, I'm a bit eccentric, blah, 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 blah. Guarantee he's working in the city in a couple of years.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
But you know, but then you have other wankers like that age guy and other things. And then other people go, oh, well, if you're identifying as a woman, I'm going to identify as a toaster. You know, and it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, like how far does it go? Like, they get these people that are called other kin, that you kind of joked about with toasters. There are actually people out there that identify as other objects. Like, I was reading an article not long ago where someone identified as, like, a cloud. They just sit there and... like
a cloud?
Like, one day I would just sit there and be like, you're looking at the clouds, and I'd see that, and it's like, that's me. Like, what? Hold on. Like,
technically speaking, he's sort of right.
Yeah, on a level, yeah.
If we're getting into the science of it, yeah.
But then you get like four like that, and then you also get people who marry things that are just like, that's really weird. Like the woman that married the train station a wee while back. Who the fuck?
I remember watching a documentary about that. It was a woman that married the...
How did he consummate the marriage?
That's what I was going to say. Like, just wait for a train to come by.
Because that was one of the things that she spoke about as well. She's broken at night and she managed to do that.
Fuck.
There was a woman that had married the Eiffel Tower as well.
Yes.
And she managed to consummate
that. That's a lot to take in.
That is a whole lot.
And, that's a big claim.
What else was there? Oh, there was another one that had married the fairground ride, 1001 Nap.
Yeah.
And I don't know if anybody's seen that documentary, but I would search that out. Search for, even on YouTube, but 1001 Nach documentary. And it's one of the maddest things I've ever fucking seen in my entire life.
Is that Nach as in like night, like German for
Nach,
night?
German night, because it's in Germany. So they specifically, like when they go to Germany to go and see this fairground ride as well, a woman goes with her who had suffers from the same sort of condition. Suffers? I don't know, has the same sort of condition. And when this woman's there, seeing her boyfriend, 1001 Nacht, this other woman falls in love with a fence. So it's pretty odd.
There's things though, like, there's weird things. Like, so in one of my favourite books of all time, How Four Sphinx, there's it's the Ruma Puma people, the Rumas in, where are they, Ecuador or somewhere? Yeah, pretty sure it's Ecuador, South America. It's all the fucking same. Yeah,
that's a song about them, hey?
Yeah. It is an absolute tune. But these tribal people love in bands, and they like, this guy's uncle is what they call a Ruma Puma, which means he's literally, they think he like turns into a puma and then does shit. And this guy's like, oh, some pumas come and killed my fucking chickens. And he goes to his uncle, he's like, what the fuck you doing? Why'd you kill my chickens? And his uncle's like, sorry, I didn't mean to kill your chickens. I don't always remember what happens when I'm a puma. And they're not faking. Like, it's an anthropology book. And they're not faking. They genuinely believe that, like, he turns into a puma and does this. Like, so, but my point is that this stuff isn't new. It's probably been about since the Stone Age.
Yeah. It's just bizarre. Just this, like, we're probably because we're not programmed in that way. Like, our wires are totally different from what theirs are. So I feel like I don't want to just totally bag on them. Like, be who you want to be. But at the same time, it's like, if you're going to be something else, can you at least be something practical? You know what I mean? Like, at least this guy, like the guy from who thinks he's from the 1820s, at least he's acting normal as a person. He's just dressing and acting like he's from the 1820s. Whereas becoming a fucking puma, that's a different game altogether. That's like, nonsense.
I respect that more than the 1820s chap, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. First off, it takes a whole lot of balls to do that. Like, burning your jeans is one thing, but killing your neighbor's chickens is something else.
Oh, let's be clear. Let's be clear. I don't think he actually killed his neighbor's chickens.
No,
I think another puma killed his neighbor's chickens. And but it was like his nephew, I think. And his nephew was like, that's my uncle. Being a, he turns into a puma every now and then. It's genuinely my favorite book. It's fucking magical, but it's not fake either. It's not fiction. Well, it is obviously. It's not, maybe that didn't happen.
No,
it's
a puma.
Yeah, he is a puma.
What?
There's another great anthropology book. Oh, its name's skipping my mind. But the guy's a little bit dodge. But anyway, he went to learn like magic, like basically how to become a genuine sorcerer. I think it might be called The Sorcerer's Apprentice or something.
Yeah.
But he was an anthropologist, and he went to like, right, I'm going to go, what you do as an anthropologist, do ethnography, you go embed yourself of culture. People sometimes spend years there, usually a few months at a time, but sometimes years, went and lived with this sorcerer, learned how to become a sorcerer. But then he started like doing spells, and they're like, right, I want you to do a spell to like hurt my husband or hurt this man because he's hurt me in some way. People pay them. He gets... The head sorcerer goes, right, you do this. He goes and does it. And then the woman gets hurt. And then he becomes convinced that he's genuinely a sorcerer. Like, and it's actually an interesting thing about the nature of evidence and how it's really hard to actually prove anything in science, and how if you go back to the fundamentals of induction and stuff, it doesn't make much sense. And you can't actually prove it. You just have to trust it because it works so well.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then you can't completely disprove what he's saying as well. You could say it's massively unlikely, but he's like, but so it's got that interesting back thing. But at the same time, he's like, no, I'm a genuine wizard now. I absolutely loved reading it because the guy does seem genuinely a bit mental.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's a really interesting read of him like talking you through how he turned into a wizard. And at first he didn't believe it, and he became convinced that he was like a genuine sorcerer.
Yeah. I feel like it's something that Derren Brown would do to someone, or he probably has done to someone, like made them think that.
Well, he's convinced this guy's from the fucking 1820s.
It's like sat in a room for like two days.
Drilled it into him. No, that's the thing, like, there's one thing identifying as something else, but then when you're identify as being from somewhere
another
else
age.
In time.
It's yeah, like, I suppose.
I think this guy is the worst thing of people who go, oh, I was born in the wrong generation, which we've probably all said as teenagers, oh, I was born in the wrong generation, should be around Beatles, Red Zeppelin, yeah. But at the same time, the truth is that if you were in then, you'd be just as boring a cunt as you are now.
Yeah.
Let's be real, everyone, you know.
And you'd have probably been born during the war as well. Yeah. So, not the best.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's like, yeah, and there's the great thing about, it's always about music as well that people say it. And the thing about music these days is there's scenes, because of the internet, there's scenes for whatever you're into, like pretty much everywhere in the world.
Yeah.
Like, as long as you're in a city or near a city, you can find a scene for anything and you can contribute to it. But these people don't, they just moan about not being born in the right generation.
I always think, I wish.
And this guy's the worst example of that.
Yeah. I mean, I always think, I wish I was born from another era. And then I remember we have French, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, The Simpsons, Star Trek, Next Generation, all those things. I was like, the evenings on BBC Two is
not like,
what I'm
like, not like. I like how your list didn't include not dying of cholera.
And not dying of cholera,
low infant mortality.
No, I went like, I went for the first world problems. That's what I went for.
I need TNG. I need C. Riker put his leg up on things or I don't feel complete.
Yeah, the world's not the same without that.
Well, speaking about things sort of going back in time and things changing, I just came back from cinema to see yesterday on a little bit of a family outing, the Beatles film. And basically, main guy, he's a failing musician, he's quit his job as a teacher, he's terrible. He has a girl who's his manager who clearly fancied him, known her forever. He sees her as a friend, she fancies blah, blah, blah. He wakes up one morning, there's been a power outage. He gets hit by a bus. Nobody can remember the Beatles ever existing. So he just, like, nicks all their songs and starts performing them and becomes mates with Ed Sheeran. And it's actually, in the first 10 to 15 minutes of it, I was like, oh, this isn't very good. And after that, it actually got better as it went on. I was like, it's actually okay. It's actually all right. Directed by Danny Boyle. And as I was saying to you off mic, there's a few bits where you're like, oh, yeah, few shots were like total Danny Boyle, but for the majority of it, you wouldn't think it's a Danny Boyle film.
Yeah.
Apart from maybe the colour, like it's really bold colour. The colour palette reminded me of an up-to-date version of A Life Less Ordinary, which he did well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sweet, did I?
Underrated film. It's really good.
It's a really good movie. Yeah.
Great song by Noel Gallagher, actually.
Yeah.
So
round our way. But it's good, yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to give anything away, but this gives me the sort of vibe where it's like Dallas. Like, this whole film's going to play out, and it turns out he was in a coma dream the whole time. Like, I've not seen it. I'm just totally taking a guess.
It didn't end exactly the way I thought it was going to, which is the way my sister thought it was going to as well, but it didn't end quite that way.
All right, yes.
Don't get put off by his annoying friends at the beginning. They basically go away.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
But his annoying friends, I was like, oh, these friends are fucking annoying. I hope they go away. They did. I was like, fuck.
But the lead actor, I can't remember his name, but I feel like I've seen him in loads of stuff, but I just can't put my finger on what it is.
I don't know, but the main lead was Lily James, and she's it was annoying me what her name was all the way through. I think she was in Cinderella, my sister was saying. Oh. But I waited, she was like the second name in the credits. I went, it's legit. Because I can't remember. It looks like Daisy Ridley, but it's not Daisy Ridley from Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
She's not old enough. Or Lily James is too old to be Daisy Ridley.
Yeah,
it's all right. It's okay. I just thought I'd give a quick review. Is it worth a trip? If you're a massive Beatles fan, you'll enjoy it. If you like sort of softish sort of rom-coms, you might like it. I wouldn't say it's for everyone. My mum very kindly bought me the ticket, so I didn't have to.
Well, take the ticket any day.
It was the sort of thing where I saw the advert and I thought, oh, I might go see that. I might just wait until it hits the movie channels. But
It's interesting that, like, there's loads of films now that are coming. Like, you've got the Bohemian Rhapsody. Is it Rocket Man, the Elton John film?
Yeah.
Was it you that went to see Rocket? No, it was Kutch.
No, Kutch went to go.
He said it was excellent.
Yeah. Aye. So there's that Rocket Man. Now there's Yesterday that's come out. Is there not another one that's going to come out sometime soon as well?
Yeah, there's another biography of Yes, there is. Yes.
And there's another one.
Yes is
there
the
probably
answer.
There will be another musical.
There are more movies due to come out, yes.
Yeah, but it's like, it's becoming more common now that it's like films based off bands now.
Yeah.
You know, you think they're bouncing off the whole Mamma Mia train?
I think it's more Ray. I think Ray was like the big turning point for these.
Totally. Ray and Walk the Line were the two.
Although this is probably closer to Mamma Mia than it is to Ray and Walk the Line.
I remember.
But it's not like Mamma Mia, but it's closer in tone to Mamma Mia, if you know what I mean?
I like, there was
Walk of the Line's fucking good, actually. Yeah, I haven't seen it in ages.
There was a really good one about Notorious B.I.G. as well.
Yeah.
It's called Notorious.
Is it Notorious? Was it?
I never saw it.
It was a good film. It was really good.
I always thought Notorious B.I.G. was overrated.
I did too.
Just like Tupac. Anyway.
There's a circle of people.
Tupac
somewhere.
Was better, but no.
There's a circle of people in California right now just curling in a ball now that you said that.
No.
Shooting a box in the air. No one's in California listening to this, James.
No, not at all. If you are, please message us, though. That'd be great.
I will say that Ed Sheeran wasn't completely annoying in it, and he was actually obviously up for getting the piss taken out of him.
Not like in Game of
like
Thrones.
Like some of the best lines in the film were taking the piss out of Ed Sheeran. It was quite good.
That's pretty good.
Not so much like when he was in Game of Thrones, and I was just like, can he just fuck off?
But no, I like the follow-up line from being in Game of Thrones, where it was just like, yeah, he's lost all of his skin now.
Yeah.
it's like, yes.
Wait. Was that actually what happened to him?
Yeah, they reference him in like another episode. Like, he's not there, but like a couple of women talk about him.
Yeah.
I totally didn't get that.
I think his name is Eddie or something. Ed. And it's like, well, what about Eddie? All of his skin got burned off by that dragon. And I was like,
yeah.
That's it. Yeah, we can't convince him to come back.
I love the melted shape of you.
Conor McGregor was meant to be in it as well.
When was
he? Getting ready for a fight. But he was nah, I just want to concentrate on the fight.
He would just be fucking class in it.
He would
though.
Be yeah. decent,
okay. Can you imagine like the last season in that battle of.
Although he's only in Ireland. It'd be like a day trip to Northern Ireland.
Yeah,
although
yeah.
that's 3 days out of training camp. That's quite a lot. Actually.
I would have loved to have him establish as a character enough, quickly enough, before we got to the Battle of Winterfell, just for the one bit so they're matching goes, just for that.
And then gets his skin melted off.
Yeah, that's
just,
it.
Just gets incinerated.
Just gets killed.
Would have been better than the actual ending.
Absolutely.
Totally.
I actually liked the Battle of Winterfell. I thought that was great.
Good.
A lot of people were like, oh, it was underwhelming. I was like, what are you talking about? There's like waves of fucking zombies. Yeah. Like,
this was
running at people.
For an hour.
It was a better zombie film than World War Z.
Yeah.
Which was meant to be a zombie film.
Yeah, totally.
I was on board with Game of Thrones up until the last half hour.
I thought, I honestly, no one was ever going to be happy with the ending to it. God, this is taking a weird turn.
I know.
It?
Yeah.
But no one would ever be happy with the ending of it. I thought they did it quite well, considering all the things they had to wrap up.
Just had to try and tie in a neat little
Although,
package.
Although, the person that ends up in charge on the throne,
yeah,
not sure about that one, like, but fair play.
When, it's like, Aaron will be on the throne. Do you want to be king? Yeah, why not?
Fuck it. Yeah. I'm up for it.
If you think that ending's bad, watch for Star Trek Enterprise 1. It's even worse than the entire show. It's fucking terrible.
If it's worse than the entire show,
yeah.
I might give it a miss.
I'm rewatching it just now, and I've just got to season three of Enterprise. I go, oh yeah, this is when Enterprise gets dark and good. It does, like, they genuinely get darker and good. And then I was like, oh yeah, the last two, it's got four seasons, I think, and the last two are really good.
Yeah.
First
two are shite.
Right.
But if you like Star Trek, if you don't like Star Trek, it'll be even worse than shite.
See,
but
as you're watching this, do you get to that point where you're just like, it's been a long road.
I do.
Getting from there to here.
Most of the time I skip the intro, but sometimes I'll
bang it out because it's
beautiful. I've got faith of a heart. It's so bad. But, so here's the thing. I was like, oh yeah, season 3 and 4, this is where it gets good. But they change the intro and make it even worse.
Oh,
so it's the
no.
same song, but they make like, they've got like a Django ding 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 guitar behind it, and they've got some other stuff going on, like a bass line, some other stuff, and it's just, they managed to make that shite song even worse. And it completely clashes with the dark tone of the series as well. Terrible.
Yeah, it's like changing up Face the Pain.
Whereas it should have just been execute, like Face the Pain.
Yeah.
Go away.
Yeah.
They've got Ron Perlman.
They do have Ron Perlman.
Yeah.
They haven't actually done face paint. It's always Ron Perlman doing fucking voiceovers.
Yeah, I'm all for that.
Because it used to be Anthony Bourdain.
Yeah.
No longer.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Yeah. So I was just going to come back to your quick review of Yesterday, because there was the other Beatles movie that came out a wee while ago. I was actually going to talk about Beatles movies in general, because, Beatles released, they had 4 movies, I think it was.
The Beatles themselves?
Yeah, totally. Then obviously they were mostly terrible. Help, everyone says it's a great movie, although we all know it's such
not.
It's a terrible film. But there was one released across the universe that was a few years ago, 10 years ago or something.
Yeah.
And I have to say, out of like Beatles covery type movies, and it's weird and a bit jangly and a bit arty and stuff, that's another one worth watching. Across the Universe.
It's like, all right. It's like what's that one with the Rock Club and it's getting shut down and Tom Cruise is in it?
Oh,
not School of Rock.
It's not Rock of Ages, no.
Yes, it is Rock of Ages.
Oh, I've not seen it. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it's Rock. It's actually an alright film.
A lot of musical friends right now screaming at me.
Yeah.
James, yeah. Did you know this?
Actually, have I seen the musical as well?
Oh, there is a musical version of that. Yeah,
I might have seen the musical. I can't remember. But it's, it's based on a musical. But it's very similar to, it always reminds me of that.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They're very similar in tone and everything that happens.
Yeah, yeah.
What's the musical with where they sing like, oh no, that's Rock of Ages. Where they sing like, Don't Stop Believing at the beginning. Yeah, it's Rock of Ages, isn't it? When she's like working in a strip bar or something, I don't know.
Yeah. Speaking of musicals, quickly jump in. You know, there's a lot of like musical theatre companies in Fife. You should really get in on that action and be like, here guys, do you want a Fife Club review of your show?
Well,
I know a lot of people in those companies and I'd be afraid to defend them. Like my sister is one of them.
Is your sister in the show?
Yeah, she did 9 to 5. 9 to 5, she was the Dolly Parton character.
Oh, kind of. Sound.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Done a few other things, but I can't remember because I'm a terrible brother. But I enjoyed them when I went to them. Yeah, very good.
Yeah, if you're doing a musical theatre show, you want us to chat about your show, come and say hello. We'll say come see the show. Buy tickets. Yeah. Give us tickets. That'd be great.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, because, I mean, Dunfermline in general is going to be grasping at straws for anybody doing anything now because nothing is happening here. As we briefly covered last week, that Dunfermline Delivers doesn't anymore.
Yeah.
And now it's kind of come out in the papers again saying that they're now looking for someone that will do, well,
fireworks.
Exactly the same job that Dunfermline Delivers used to do, which I find hilarious because, I mean, I touched on it last week. Like, it's quite a niche title for a company.
Yeah.
It's like, where else are you going to work? Like, for stars, what else are you going
to
do?
You're going to have to find the Twin City.
Yeah.
Like, I think Fife Club should take this over.
I agree. That would be good.
All we have to do is win the support of most of the shops in town.
Yeah.
I think we'd do all right with the smaller ones, but the big rateable value boys will probably...
We don't really do too much. We talk about the fireworks, then we talk about the Christmas lights, and then when we get in, we do the Honey Badger Pavlona.
We'll keep it a surprise.
like a special event during, like, I don't know, say the gala, when there's like hundreds of people there anyway.
During the fireworks. Like,
yeah. As they go off, just unleash it.
So you do that from the back as the fireworks are going off at the front, and I can't see anything going wrong with it.
Not at all.
And also, if I was to do the fireworks, it'd just be one big one.
Just the whole sky goes white for 10 minutes.
Suddenly it's daylight.
Yeah. Wow.
10 seconds worth of daylight. Blind everyone.
Job done. It's like farmers waking up in the morning, like, Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Like,
almost a little big cover band cracks out their tunes.
Can we talk briefly as well about the did anyone see the what was it for, even? It was for the cup, wasn't it? The Scottish Cup draw.
Yes. Oh my god.
Sponsored by Tunnocks. And it was
so painted out like a caramel wafer.
Yeah, the whole desk and like the background was like a massive it was like caramel wafers. Yeah. And everybody it was glorious in Scottish Tower. Everyone was like, oh shit, this is even better than Drunk Rod Stewart doing it a few years ago.
That was hard to talk, by the way.
Yeah, that was very hard to, but I think this does it. Like,
good on you, Tunnocks.
What's interesting is, like, I think Iron Brew will try and do it now, and they will try and do it, and it won't look as good. It'll be like, oh, Tunnocks did this, but Tunnocks is just such like a quintessentially Scottish brand who's a bit smaller than Iron Brew and therefore it's even more stupid. I love it.
You won't get any more stupid. Scottish. Like, where else do you see Tunnocks tea cakes apart from Scotland? Don't answer that question because there's probably loads of places.
No, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Aye, you've made a point there.
It's truly
my Canadian
Scottish.
Cousin used to take some back with him to Canada with like Iron Brew and stuff as well. That was before you could get it. I think you can get it in Canada now.
Because you can get like Iron Brew and Tennent's anywhere. But like, nah, Tunnocks tea cakes, Tunnocks caramel.
You used to be able to not get Iron Brew because it's so fucking bad for you.
Yeah. But now they've done all the whole sugar law thing.
Oh, it was before that.
Was it before that?
Yeah, they got in. It's been
like, I know, like, holiday destinations used to do it, like Blackpool, and some places in London used to do it as well. Like, you could get your Iron Brew.
You do get it, like, some places. Or service stations. But it's like, it's not like here where, like, you know, 80% of them do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember 2003 being at Reading, and it was after Blink-182 had just finished the main stage, walking back towards the campsite, and it was roasting. And I was like, cold tin of brew, here we go. And went across the juice stall and just said, I was like, two cans of Iron Brew, please. And the girl behind the counter went, what?
Oh, no.
And I was like, two cans of Iron Brew. And she was like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, my God.
I was just like, what the fuck? It's like, this is your primary job here, is to sell juice. You don't know what juice is. Yeah. Settle for Sprite, raging. Fuck yeah. You, England.
I can't think of a worse kind of hell. Speaking of like a worse kind of hell, someone had to go through about a month of hell after an encounter with bears.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a segue.
What a segue.
Yeah, it was a Russian chap called Alexander. Now,
he's Russian. He's obviously going to be called Alexander.
He has no other name. Is it Oleg or Alexander? Or one of them is his middle name. But yeah, he survived for a month with a broken back. Basically, he'd been out in the woods, as you do in Russia. That's the Russian name for them. And he was attacked by a black bear, I think.
Oh.
Which, black bears, what they tend to do, or brown bears, I'm not sure, it's one or the other. It's a fucking bear, anyway. He was attacked by a bear, and what this bear tends to do is maims its prey and then brings it back to its, like, cave, its lair, I don't know what you want to call it, and saves it. So it's like, oh, it's alive, so it won't decompose and go horrible and smelly. And they leave their prey to ripen, is how they call it. So basically, once it's fucking reeking, om nom nom nom. So that was the idea. So this bear catches Alexander, breaks his back, and then hauls him back to its cave. So this Alexander guy can't move, can't do anything at all. He's just absolutely ruined. So he's laying there for a month with a broken back, to the point where he started to decompose. His skin was mummifying. He was essentially melting into the ground below him, and his eyes had essentially melted away into horrible puddly discs. Yeah, so this guy survived by essentially curling his hand round and drinking his own piss for a month straight.
Fuck.
As this bear just kind of casually plodded around him. I have no idea how he got out of the situation.
Yeah, I was going to say, how did he get out of that?
I think it said people found him. Like, people went to look for him or something.
By the looks of the photos, you'd probably be able to smell him from about a mile away.
Yeah.
Because he was in a pretty melted away, yeah.
Like, do you know what I thought of when I saw it? Remember in Seven?
Yeah.
He ties that guy to the bed.
Yes. Sloth.
Yeah.
Sloth.
Yeah, Sloth.
Looks like Sloth. Yeah, totally. Not from the Goonies, but...
He's helping.
Aye, but for getting lost in the woods and for that, that's fucking...
That's guff.
Aye, just an awful sight, but an amazing story. Like, the fact he managed to survive, that is crazy.
I mean, that is a level... Like, the levels of luck you need to, you know, get pulled out of that as well.
Aye.
Like, he could have just accepted... He must have accepted his fate by, like, the point that he came and collected them.
Oh, totally.
And then the other question is, like, if he got found, what the fuck are folk doing in a bear cave? They're just casually jumping in. Oh, there's a bear cave. Let's just go in there.
Well, I'm not sure how
some
far...
Some mad bastard decided, let's go check that out.
Like, I'm not sure how far he was from civilization or anything like that, but it sounds like he was in, you know, it was to the point where he was melting, basically. This guy was, like, alive, but his body wasn't.
Yeah.
So the fact he's been found and he's apparently making, like, roads to recovery now as well is, like...
You surely can't fully recover from something like that.
I wouldn't imagine.
But I suppose you'll be able to get like machines and stuff to help you out a little bit.
Cause I mean, I've had hangovers I don't think I've fully recovered from.
You had like one for 4 months.
I'm still going, yeah. But I mean, you see, like, honestly, I'd recommend to everyone just to see the photos of this guy. They're pretty gruesome, but he lived, you know what I mean? So have a look. It's Alexander Survives Bear Attack. Try that. Have a look, and if, you know, in my old quote, it's a very difficult wank.
New T-shirt coming soon to the store.
Oh yeah, totally. So you could almost say he wasn't smarter than the average bear.
Oh god,
that was bad.
You've fucked right. All your points from a segue have gone.
All the goodwill. Goodbye.
It's so well.
So, wait, how long was he in there for?
A month.
A month?
Yeah, a solid month of just, like, lying and like, apparently the whole time the bear was, like, coming back and eating other bits that were around him.
Oh, God.
Working its way to this guy eventually, who was still occasionally going, oh, it's a bear.
Just giving him a stuff. Nope, not ready. So, he's not reeking yet, not ready.
So it's like, was he, like, eaten by a bear, like, how someone would eat, like, a steak dinner? Like, they go for the chips first, then the steak. So they've had, like, the salad around them, like, and then go for it.
It's the Bisto advert, isn't
it?
You go and save the Bisto. So that's it.
It's like the alternate ending to The Revenant. He's like...
Got him.
Yeah.
Just the easiest.
Like, just stop it there.
Got him.
Yeah. Done. Film ends.
Yes.
That's a good film, actually. I've only watched that once.
I'm the same. Yeah,
I really enjoyed it.
I have to go and see it. Aye. That was an odd one, though, because it was just like, watching the whole thing, I was like, he's just doing this for an Oscar, isn't he?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. It had that feel.
Yeah,
he went through a weird phase of like, he had to like make a film that would win him an Oscar, because he was so close for so long, and it was just like, I think something just in him snapped.
I think this Tarantino
just took anything.
This new Tarantino one might be a good shout for an Oscar, because
it looks all right.
It looks all, yeah.
It looks a bit confusing.
Yeah,
I don't think the Tarantino movies are, though.
Yeah, but like, I don't think the trailer sort of lays it out, because it seems like it's a bit more of a simple story than what his older films are.
Trailers for Tarantino films never make sense, though. Like, they never anything like what the film's like. Yeah, so, yeah. But like, it's about Hollywood in the past.
Yeah.
They fucking lap that shit up. Like, have you seen La La Land? Right? I don't mind musicals. La La Land is not good. It's not good. It's not good.
That's what I heard. That's why I've not watched it.
It's so bad.
I thought you were going to say, if you watch La La Land, this is La La Land on crack cocaine. Yeah. I thought that's what you were going to say for this film.
And that's just only bits of it are, though. Yeah. That's what I like about Tarantino's movies as well, is like, he's able to kind of like... Like, the trailers that do get put out are always just so confusing. You're just like, what the fuck is this going to be? And it's like, it's a Tarantino movie. I'll watch that.
I think the only one that was good was Hateful Eight. And that was pretty close to what the film was like. So
Yeah.
But I think he's got quite a lot of goodwill for a lot of the films he's done. You know, like Reservoir Dogs.
He's got to get that Weinstein stink off of him.
Yeah, he's got to get it off him a little bit there. Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard to shift.
Yeah, or the bear will come and eat him. Yeah. He keeps stinking. Ooh, ripe. Lovely.
Clammy handed and ripe.
Oh,
jeez. Oh,
sorry.
Maybe I think it'll be a good film.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see, I guess. Yeah,
I've started to enjoy Leonardo DiCaprio a bit more in films. Now I've got over that weird sort. You know, when in the 90s he was like, oh, he's such a heartthrob. It's like, fuck off, couldn't care less about him. Now he's actually doing decent films like Wolf of Wall Street. I was like, right, I'm convinced now. I'll accept he's a good actor now. That was the moment where I was like, yep, I'll accept it now. Because it was
always good. He's been good in everything he's in.
What was the other film he'd done that was...
Titanic?
It was the one where he was in the asylum.
Shutter Island.
Shutter Island was banging. Loved Shutter Island.
Yeah.
Shutter
Island, it's like a pastiche of pastiches.
Yes. That's where I started buying it.
I got into some of you two. No.
Possibly.
Because then they come out like a couple of months before or after Inception.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was really close to Inception, wasn't it? No.
Fair enough,
or it is in my head.
Yeah.
Inception is nuts as well, actually. He's been in some cracking movies. Like, see, when he was younger, he was in there's a movie called What's Eating Gilbert Grape.
Yeah.
Well, I've never seen that.
Him and Johnny Depp, and he's young, and he plays the line from Tropic Thunder kicks in there, but he plays somebody with learning difficulties, and it's brilliant, like that, and Basketball Diaries, and there's a few movies that came out around that time that gave his quality. And
that's why I'd like to go back and watch Raising Arizona, because I remember that is the only film where Nicolas Cage actually acts well. And I want to go back. I'm like, did he actually act well? Or is he just acting exactly the same? But it was so new, people were like, oh, this guy's a great actor. He seems like a possessed crazy man.
Have you seen
who at the same time, he looks serious and alive. He looks dead in his eyes all at the same time.
Do you remember when Nicolas Cage was supposed to be Superman?
Yeah.
Could you imagine how that...
There were images of that surfaced recently.
With him with long hair.
Yeah.
Which is really
They wouldn't have done the long hair. That was just for...
Yeah, I think that was just,
he was probably filming Con Air at the time.
There was a movie that he was in called Mandy that was out just recently.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
And it's available on I think it's like Now TV and a few other things. But it's available. But Mandy's like, it's a revenge movie. So it's his wife gets killed, and then it's just kind of like from there, it's Nicolas Cage going crazy, and it's weird and sort of slightly satanic looking and arty, and it's actually a really good movie, though. It's kind of like how Wicker Man should have been if Nicolas Cage hadn't fucking been in Wicker Man.
That's truly one of the worst films I've ever seen.
Awful.
It's not as bad as A Spirit, but it's close.
Yeah,
but I didn't see Wicker Man at the cinema, so whereas A Spirit, I almost walked out.
Like,
it's so bad.
Do you think, see, when they do films with Nicolas Cage, do you think they make a film and just accept, we're going to have to get Nicolas Cage? Or do they make these films with Nicolas Cage in mind, knowing it's like, it's probably going to be shit, but he's a man for the job. Get him in. Like,
I mean, he's perfect for National Treasure.
Ah, yeah, you know, totally.
Yeah. Yeah. He's an actor that can't act. Roll him in.
I remember watching Snake Eyes when I was a kid as well. I actually quite liked Snake Eyes when I was younger. Now I'm older, it's just like, man, it didn't age well.
They tried to do a classic heist movie, but like, fucked it up.
Yeah.
Wait, that is Snake Eyes, isn't it? Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Yeah, that was the one where like the boxer takes a dive.
There's so many heist movies around then and all that stuff. Like,
I just watched The Hat and Garden Job last night talking of heist movies.
Oh, those are good.
Ah, it's quality. Michael Caine, Raven Stone, Jim Broadbent. Aye, it's a good wee cast.
I was just listening to an interesting podcast, Thinking Aloud, the Radio 4 show, and they were like, it was about organised crime, and they were talking about how people think that, like, when... I can't remember if it was Hat and Garden, but it was one of the big robberies, like bank robberies, and like, so the interviewer's like, he said, oh, how long does it take for you to plan this, you know, and he goes, oh, we just came out of it like in the pub one afternoon over a few pints, and then they're like, that's it, and then he's like, oh, he's like, oh, the police said it was like masterminded and really well thought. It's like, well, that obviously makes them sound better because, you know, presumably he didn't say this, but it's like, yeah, because they're like, oh, it sounds the security sound better there, and it sounds, it makes the police sound better because then it's like, oh, we don't catch him, you know, they were really hardened, really you know, well financed criminal masterminds.
Yeah, totally.
What if that's just some guys down a pub, you know?
Yeah, six guys around the captain's table.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Speaking of like organized crime, is that the film not coming out not long now? It's like The Kitchen. Is that what it's called?
What's that one?
It's what is it? It's like sort of mob in New York, like a mob story in New York. Like it's like, I don't know if it's like the wives of mobsters that take over like a section of the mafia, and then they start getting into competition with like rival mobs and things like that. It looks interesting. Really interesting. Scott, what's her face from the Ghostbuster films? The new Ghost. She's in like loads of like comedy films recent just now. Like
Kirsten Wiig.
I think it's
the other one.
Yeah. The one that's done like I can't remember her name. Sort of the not to be offensive or anything, but the bigger one. What's her name?
Oh, Melissa McCarthy.
She's in it and she looks intense in it. Like I was like, oh, because I quite
I have seen the thing for this, and I thought, oh, geez,
I'm quite a big fan
of doing a comedy role.
Yeah, I'm quite a big fan of like comedians, like or comic actors doing roles that are like really serious and doing it well. Like, and she looked at her, I was like, fuck, that looks really good. Like that, because I've seen like some of her comedy stuff, and I'm like, I'm not a big fan of that. I'm not too keen. And then she does something like that. I was like, this I could watch.
Yeah,
I'm all for it. Like, I was a big fan of like Jim Carrey doing Man in the Moon.
Yeah,
because of that, it was like a really serious one. I watched the documentary on him not long ago.
And Milk as well was good.
Yeah, Milk was really good.
And Robin Williams and
1 hour
4.
Oh, 1 hour 4. Angriest Man in Brooklyn and Fisher King and Good Will Hunting.
Good Will Hunting,
fucking aye. Robin Williams was a quality actor. Like,
yeah,
like some of them, like you get it in them, like some really good comedy actors.
Well, Melissa McCarthy was in Can You Ever Forgive Me as well, and that was the one that was just out recently with her and Richard E. Grant.
Oh yeah,
and it was fucking fantastic. Like. funny and dodgy, and it's a true story as well about that, what was it, a writer that was faking letters from other people. Fantastic. Like, we'd watch.
It's good though. Like, I look forward to seeing that whenever it comes out. I might go and see it and do a review in the podcast.
All right, so me and Charlotte yesterday, I was going to say, we went for a walk out towards Kinghorn, the sandy bit of Fife, if you like. Petticoat Bay and all that sort of stuff. And
you were going to push her off the side, weren't you?
I was tempted. Yeah. Although I think that's probably the reason that she took me there as well. So. But when we were there, there's one thing I discovered, and that's that I was sweating my tits off. It was fucking roasting. And it's like, we were promised it was going to be like crazy hot, lovely sunshine. And I was expecting something really special out of this weekend. And all it was sweaty as fuck. And raining torrentially
in
Scotland.
With some extra electricity going with that as well. Like,
aye.
Thunder,
mad
lightning.
Amounts of thunder and lightning. Jesus. In, which was amazing to see, but it just so happens that everywhere else in the UK/world...
Had a lovely day.
Had a fucking cracking day.
Maybe that's too cracking.
Yeah.
France at 45 degrees.
It's like, I think it's like, fuck that. It's like some like weird like blood sacrifice that people have made. It's like, look, we really want a really sunny day for Glastonbury, so someone has to take the hit. Fuck it, Scotland.
Yeah.
Like, so they get like really nice weather. So someone's done like a rain dance to get really nice sunny weather in Glastonbury, and then all this shit weather comes
out. You don't want weather that nice at a festival because you're out all day. You want it to be like that for maybe 2 hours.
Yep.
like maybe 2 hours at one point, 1 hour a bit later on, and you want it to be sort of mostly overcast, but not completely overcast for the rest of the time. And yeah. That's not just as a ginger, although it is as a ginger. Yeah. But like other people I know have said this as well, like when it's really hot at festivals, it's actually oppressive because you're out all the time. And even when you're in a tent, I was at Glastonbury and yeah. It was like 34 degrees or something. And it was absolutely disgusting.
Yeah.
With all the people, there was like people just crowded around trees. And like only a small percentage of them could get in the shade of the tree.
Oh.
It was just horrible. It was absolutely
I always
horrible.
Wonder, like, you know, at festivals, how they don't do, you know, how they did it with Live Aid all those years ago? They had like fire trucks or something like that stationed around the stadium. So, because the temperature was so high, what we'd do is have the fire trucks spray water up in the air.
Yeah.
So it would rain over people to cool people down. It'd yeah. be like a cooling off thing because the temperature's, because it's Wembley Stadium, it's all closed off, mm. so all the sunshine goes in, it's fucking boiling, so they'll just do a little bit of hydration with the fire truck, spray the water. Surprised they don't do anything like that in festivals. Well, where they have
they
like
do.
Stations
they do
they? Because what they got at Tina Park is a grumpy bastard security guard with a jug of water and several just, plastic cups just yeah. going like, hey,
if you're at the front is, you take a sip and you pass it back.
Yeah, you just take a sip, pass it back, so you can be like the 20th mouth on that glass.
Yeah, right. Nothing not, wrong with this whatsoever.
Not to say it's dodgy or anything, I would never trust a glass that's been passed from like one end of the crowd to another. Like whatever
it doesn't get
in that
far.
It doesn't get that far. Plus a tea in the park, that could be a plus.
Yep. Your survival could depend on yeah. that.
There's also the other system at festivals where people piss into cups and then throw them, and then it
yes,
sprays
that's, well, that's my worry.
Yeah.
Unwanted hydration.
Yeah, yeah, very much.
Yeah.
Speaking of the rain and the thunderstorms and that, a lightning bolt went into my neighbor's garden. I was sitting in my room, which is like it's like a wee granny flat extension on the bottom floor of the house. Comes out, and there's a fucking lightning bolt. I can see it. It looked to me, right, perspective wise, like it was like a few meters away from me in my neighbor's garden. It was loud. The sound and the light were like at the same time, well, almost at the same time, and it was like that. It had a ball about a couple of feet across. Like near the bottom of it. I couldn't actually see it hit the ground because of the fence
yeah.
in the way, but like it looked like what lightning kind of is like, you know, the air getting turned into fucking plasma because there's a charge going through it that's nuts.
Yeah.
You know, and it was unbelievable. And I was like, holy shit, it hit my nothing else, none of the lights or that went off, but my broadband went off.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh fuck. And I went through to the conservatory and the cat was just. He must have seen it as well because he was looking at the window. He was just like, "What the fuck? What the fuck was that?
That's not supposed to happen."
Jet's actually very chilled out. Like all of our cats I've had, if it starts lightning and thundering, they're like, "Fuck this," and they go hide under a bed for the rest of the day. He just goes like, "Oh, that was a bit of a noise. I'll just go back to sleep, or I'll just, oh, it's okay." But that, I went through it. He looked genuinely like he was having an existential crisis. He was like, what the fuck was that? That was right there. Jesus Christ. I've never seen it so close before. It was absolutely mental.
Yeah.
So you couldn't see over the fence, you were saying? So you've got no idea if Arnold Schwarzenegger was at the bottom of the lightning bolt or not.
That's a good point. I didn't even think about that. There was a ball.
Oh, there you go.
Holy yeah. shit. Oh my god.
We could be getting hunted down right now.
It's oh god.
If your name's John Connor, run now.
I kind of wish I got hit by it. I'd get one of those cool scars. It's like fractal.
You might end up like that priest from Father Ted, just stuck holding something like in a.
I've already got the patter.
Like I was at work and all the light, like just in my little corner, because my part of the store has not been like refurbished, like the new economic lights or anything like that. So when this storm's coming down, it's like all my lights were just going off and just like flickering. I was like, "What the fuck's going on?" Like the rest of the store, everything's. I was like, "Your light's going off." No, what the fuck's going on here? It's just like lights went out. It's like. That's fun. I was like, right, I'll switch them off, switch them back on again. And then like half the other lights were out. And I was like, oh, that's not good.
Yeah.
And then Patton was like, but if they all go out, I could maybe go home early. And then the lights started working again.
I'd just be starting to flick switches. Like,
Oh no.
Come on. Come on, blow the fuse.
I did have that confused moment yesterday where I walked across into the, I can't remember what it's called, is it Novelli's, the Burnt Island ice cream place.
Oh, right, yeah.
Walked there in the sunshine, ran back in the pissing rain.
But that's the good thing about this time of year is like, see, when it's that hot and it rains, it doesn't last. Like, when you get rained on, you're likely not going to be that wet because it's going to just get like, it's going to come off you right away. It's going to evaporate almost instantly, depending on the rain. If it's like if it's like monsoon season,
the other day was absolutely mental.
If it's just like every day, if it's just like a normal like normal bit of rain, bit of drizzle, it's not going to even sit on you for about a minute.
It's why Snoop Dogg's got an umbrella after all.
Oh dear me.
That's what it deserves.
Oh man.
Oh shit.
So I think that brings us to that time of a podcast where we're going to go to our imaginary nonagon. It's time! Five or as many rounds as we can be bothered doing out of the hat. The imaginary nonagon fighting out of the blue corner is James Wolverine.
Yeah!
Fighting out of the red corner is the defending champion, Dave the Bear.
Dave the Bear.
Yeah. I'm obviously...
Are you the Bruce Buffer in this
situation? Bruce Buffer, but I'm about to morph into Mark Goddard, because I'm a referee.
Oh my God, it's Power Rangers.
So
have you got like a really fancy like pimp jacket to wear?
Have
you seen his jacket from last night?
Yeah, last night the UFC was Minneapolis. And he said he was wearing his like deep purple.
Oh, it was gorgeous.
Like jacket that was like, it was so Bruce Buffer. But then he was like, Blue Mountains in Minneapolis? Minnesota, from land of Blue Mountains and purple rain. I was like, yes, fucking Prince, you've got purple jacket on. Yes. It was amazing.
Like, for people who don't know who Bruce Buffer is, he's the ring announcer for the UFC.
Yeah.
He wears some of the best suit jackets you will ever see.
If you saw them on someone else, you'd say, oh, they're terrible, but he completely pulls them off.
He pulls everything off. Like, I loved his, was it the UFC 205 one that swapped over?
He changed last night as well.
Yeah.
I think he quite often has, if it's a pay-per-view, he quite often has a different jacket on for the prelims, and when he gets to the main card, he does a costume change.
He's a fancy bastard.
Yeah. It's two jackets, or is it one that just swaps, you can just like swap it, fold it inside out, and it's a different... I feel like that would be a Bruce Buffer thing, though. I think he would have a jacket like that that you can fold inside out, and it's a different jacket.
It's all like custom suits and stuff.
Yeah. I think he could totally pull something like off. He's a fashion icon in MMA.
No. Well, based on our talking about that guy who survived a bear earlier, Dave has prepared a surprise for us with a hat with some things in it.
Yeah.
And they're going to be animals
that
we have to defend ourselves against, correct?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Excellent.
It is essentially you versus whatever animal is on this piece of paper.
Brilliant.
This is very pro wrestling. It's like, it's going to be you versus a mystery opponent of my choosing. I'm like, oh fuck, it's gonna be shit then.
It might be easy, it might be a fucking nightmare. Let's find out.
Yeah, let's do this. Dave, do you want to go first?
It's my house, you can't go first.
All right, I'll go first. I'm just gonna spin them around a few bits, and I'm gonna take this one. So it's gonna be me versus an ostrich. I've got a good shout on this one.
Like, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
You don't want to put your head in this hand.
No.
Well, the reason I put this in is because I've had the conversation with my brother before as to what, like, if you could, like, this is terrible for me to say, if you could punch any animal and knock it the fuck out of one punch, what would it be? And he's always said a llama, right? And I kind of get that.
Yeah.
Mine has always been an ostrich.
See, my problem.
Food! Yeah.
But my problem is like, I need to get close enough to get a punch in.
Yeah.
You don't have the best reach, James.
No, I don't have any reach compared to an ostrich. Like,
yeah. Huh? T-Rex arms versus raptor feet.
Yeah.
You might have a worse reach to height ratio than the goat Artem.
Artem Lobov. He is the goat. But like, if I could close the distance, you know, I mean, I've done a handful of jiu-jitsu classes where I know I could probably do something. I mean, not very well.
It's a thin neck.
Skinny guy. Skinny guy.
Kimura its neck.
Skinny guy. Really skinny guys are tougher to choke.
Yeah.
But it's got a big body. I reckon if I could get on top of that, I could ground that. I'm heavy.
Strong legs, though. It'll just re-guard. It'll just push you off.
If you can get your feet around that, you can get a close.
I think
a body triangle
on like brutal like body kicks.
Yeah.
You might be in with a shot.
Yeah, but again, I think it's tough to get into the ground first off. I think it'll just peck your fucking eyes out.
Well, this is the thing, because even though it's bigger, it's going to lean its head a lot more further forward, so there's going to be opportunities to, like, throw a couple of jabs here and there, kind of duck and weave. It's about timing. Yeah, I suppose.
Like, that's what I'm like. What I've always thought is if you get one clean punch, like he's a big fucked. Fucking brutal haymaker,
it's a game over, yeah.
Like, if it, so you're on. Francis Ngannou.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's essentially the fight with an ostrich. Is like, I would need, if it goes to points, the ostrich wins. If it goes to a finish, I win. Because I reckon
I am not sure about that prediction.
Like, it could easily just disembowel you.
I would not take on an ostrich. Be approach I'd, just, that. I'd forfeit.
But that'd be my approach. Is like, I can't let this go to points. I'm not winning. I'm not going to let the judges decide this one. I can't afford that because I will definitely lose because it will just peck me to fuck. And it's bigger. It's got a better stamina than me. It's going to run like fuck. It's faster. So, yeah. You know what? I need that one good bang.
Aye, that'd be the only hope.
That's my only hope.
Like, fucking sure you can.
I mean, like, you never know. It's worked for some people.
So,
you know, it worked for Stipe. You had, like, Werdum running at him. He just went, bam, and he went down. So, you know, I could do the Stipe office and just keep jumping back and then just crack.
Although, well, see, with this, right? Because
we're in a confined space as well. We are in the nonagon.
Oh yeah, totally. But again, that can be as big or as small as it wanted to be.
I suppose,
so,
yeah. If it's as big as this room, that
is imaginary after all. But yeah, I mean, with this, we usually go around and decide as to, like, you know, who's the winner of this one. And if you're fighting an ostrich, James, you fucked me.
Yeah, your lack of faith in me is disturbing.
I'm going to call this one right now. Ostrich.
I would say ostrich by death.
This, you know what? This totally proves my point that you never let it go to the judges because that's what happens.
So.
One down. Jamie.
Oh, okay. That's
Watch this. He's going to get like a rabbit or something. He's going to get a bunny.
He might get a rabbit.
He might get a rabbit.
Oh, I'd like to be under the sea.
Oh.
In an octopus's garden.
Oh. Nice. So you're investing in an octopus?
It is indeed.
You are fucked.
Now, I think Dave will know this. I don't know if James... I actually have not a fear. Oh, it's just a weird fascination / fear of octopi?
Cephalopods.
Cephalopods.
Oh.
Like squid, octopi, cuttlefish are the fucking worst. They're like, right, they live in the water and they have beaks. What the fuck's that about?
Yeah.
They have suckers with fucking hooks in them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have really weird systems where they have like their brains and that split up and they have like all sorts of weird things going on with their anatomy. They're very intelligent.
Yep.
They're like scarily intelligent. I've always said, if, you know, we're dropping tanks in the ocean for coral reef, they could easily hijack one of them, come on land, fill it with water and take over, and we're being really fucking stupid. Yeah. There's actually, do it right. Fucking octopuses, right? Is it octopuses or is it squid? I think it's octopuses. It's a cephalopod of some kind. Can rewrite its technically, it can't rewrite its DNA. It can control what its RNA does in a certain way.
Yeah.
I need to have the article in front of me. To rewrite its DNA.
Yeah.
And because of that, at first when scientists looked at this type of octopus, they went, hang on a fucking second, why isn't this related to like anything on Earth? And the reason is because they can rewrite their own DNA.
Holy
by
shit.
Manipulating their RNA, which is what writes DNA, I suppose. That's scary. Changes it.
So,
that's how fucking nuts they are.
That's why it's fucking insane.
You know what? You are definitely fucked in this fight then. Because it's won the mental game already, because you're kind of scared of them.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
It's like, it's a bit, and because they change like their DNA through RNA, they're a bit like Floyd Mayweather in a fight. How Floyd Mayweather can change his style of boxing as the fight goes on. That octopus could literally change itself as the fight goes on to adapt to what it needs to do to win and survive. Plus, got more limbs than you, Jamie.
I know.
There's way more chances to grab. You can't have this go to the ground.
I can't grapple with a fucking octopus.
Yeah, there's no way you can grapple.
I think my
this.
Only chance is to, unlike taking it to the ground, I've got to take it to shore.
Yeah. This is us assuming he's fighting it in the sea for whatever fucking reason.
I think, to be fair, we'd have to be in a beach. Perhaps with me waist height, the octopus fully submerged.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. Danger.
That's
still tough. But basically, it's a thing of me kicking the octopus as hard as I can in one of its eyes and then running and trying to get far enough in the water so that I have more of an advantage than the octopus. But still, the octopus is just gonna sucker into my legs and fucking pull them out from underneath me.
I think you're gonna get subbed in the first round.
I think so.
I can see that happening.
Subbed slash torn into.
Yeah. You could go either way. But yeah, I just don't see, like,
I've actually gone from really like going like, what the fuck is wrong with octopuses? Why do they exist? What is with cephalopods? What the fuck is going on? These things should not exist. I've gone from that to like, I think I'm becoming a Batman type character.
You're gonna turn. I am.
I've taken like that fear, and I'm using it to do absolutely nothing. But I've taken that fear and I've conquered it, and I now feel more kin with octopuses than frightening or, you know, that. But still.
Wow, it really changes those Dark Knight films, eh? Oh my god, who are you? I'm Octoman. It really changes those things up a bit.
I think it was Fringe, where they have like a parallel universe, and they're like, you don't have Batman in this universe? Like, no, we have Mantis Man. And it's like, that's stupid, a Mantis. It's like, Mantises are like, they kill things. What? You know, bats, they're just like small mammals, they're shit. It's like, oh yeah, you got a point. Batman is a weird thing. Yeah, well, but anyway.
What I will say, though, is your strategy is kind of sound, but it really depends on if the octopus is stupid enough to come on shore. You'd have to do? You'd have to do a Conor McGregor with Aldo. Like, you'd have to spend like a year of hyping this fight up and really pissing it off to the point where it's going to run at you. So then you can just keep running back, a little bit back. And eventually it gets on the shore now, and then you win.
The issue with this is, right, mm-hmm. there's an octopus called a mimic octopus, which is essentially the Daniel Day-Lewis of the octopus. it can merge into look like just about anything. And now,
I saw mimic octopus once where it was a male octopus protecting its female octopus from shagging, or and this male mimic octopus comes and goes, "Hey, I'm a female mimic octopus." I go, "Two's better than one," and you get, and it just shags these missies and fucks off, goes back out. Oh, I'm a woman octopus again, and it goes away. And this octopus, a mimic octopus, but he didn't think about that. So, oh, two females better than one. Why not? Come on in.
And as you say, they're supposed to be fucking intelligent.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a tough gig, then. That's idiot a real octopus. Tough gig.
But yeah, that's like the. It could easily pretend to be a car and just run you the fuck over.
If I can somehow get a sword past, like, you know, where they check you before you go in the ring, that's usually for Vaseline. But if I can get a sword...
Although Vaseline...
I'll just stick it in my shorts, you know, that's... No, get a sword and then bring it and chop off some of its legs, then I might have a chance. Or, so this is my main strategy, because I think Herb Dean would catch that. So my main strategy would be trying to get the octopus... So we'd have a demarcated space, which is where the fight has to happen. But I'd keep jabbing the octopus and like stamping on its tentacles if I can get closer to shore. And then it'll get a warning for timidity because it won't be able to do anything. They can go and land for short periods of time, but it'll only be able to do a short bit. And I'll just keep working my jab, which is shit, but you know, whatever.
It wins you points, though. It wins you fight. It can win you.
No, I mean, my jab is shit.
All right. Yeah. All right. I thought the method was shit.
Working my jab against the octopus, stay behind my jab, and then if it can't do anything back, I'll win because it'll get DQ'd for timidity. That's the only way I think
that's
I can
a bold
win
strategy.
Yeah, well, I think. Calling it
then. Type that or just wrap around me and like strangle me to fucking crush all the bones in my body.
I feel like that's what maybe.
Well, I think calling it then, it would be in the water, you're fucked.
Yeah.
On land, you'd probably just shoot it to death.
Yeah. James?
I go the same. Yeah. I'd probably give it to the octopus.
Yeah.
It's not going to the judges.
So I'll go the same. So. Wait, no. Dave said, wait.
In the sea, what? You're fucked.
In the sea,
yeah.
But on land, we're on the shore. So that means I'm doing the same as Dave, which means it's a majority draw. Yes! Yes!
Well done.
Fucking technicalities in this. Right, well, who are you fighting, Dave?
I'm on to the... I've got a... Right. This is a real thing. a tarantula hawk spider wasp.
Yes! Oh!
I think I've seen this.
You're in trouble.
Didn't this come up on the internet like a year ago or something?
Just recently I sent it across because I was like, what the fuck are these?
Because you put this thing up and then I put another video underneath that of the guy getting stung by it.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So that was it. I didn't realise that, let's face it, idiot existed.
So describe it for us.
The tarantula hawk spider wasp is essentially...
a massive...
Aye, it's evil. Like, if you can imagine a wasp that's in a manga movie...
Okay.
It's that. Yeah. But bigger.
Bigger.
So
notice me, senpai. You will notice it. You will for sure.
Wait, I just fought with loads of tentacles. That's got to be in a manga. That's me.
An anime. It's very different.
Yeah.
So the tarantula hawk spider wasp is it's got the second most painful sting in the world as well.
Yeah. What's the first?
Bullet ant. So it's has the second most painful sting, and I have a fear of wasps. So
Wow, we're really facing like our fears in this episode. I'm not. I'm stuck with it.
I forgot about your thing with wasps.
Yeah, I fucking hate the
cunts. So this is a tough one because although you have the size advantage, it is very very small. And very, very fast.
The thing is, it's not very, very small. And I don't know if it'd have the size advantage, because the one that I saw is about 6 foot big. No, they're huge. They're about 4 inches across or something.
But they're still small enough that, they've got a lot more moving about them.
Like, I could maybe, if I got a good swing and it was accurate once, I could bat it out the air then stamp on it. But if I got a good swing and missed it, I would be fucked.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely not a newspaper job. Anyway.
No.
I've seen many a wasp that's a bam, hit you with
like
the record.
A stack of newspapers or a news agent.
News agent. Just drop the whole building on
it. Drop it from a height.
You probably still miss.
Yeah. Exactly.
Nuke it from orbit. It's the only way to be sure.
That's the one I do. So I mean that's it. It can fly. So I can't. I don't know if you guys knew that about me.
No. It's interesting.
But
I mean it's definitely got it's the Francis Ngannou of the wasp world. Mm-hmm. Like one sting you're down. Like I guess you're not seeing the video of this guy getting like stunned by it, but effectively gets stunned by it and then he's paralyzed on the ground for 5 minutes for the pain.
He just gets stung that once. Bad.
Yeah, he only got stung once. And somehow managed
again, I've had worse hangovers.
Yeah. Although, fair play, he somehow managed to catch it in a glass jar right away after he got stung by it. So, you know what? That's good on him. He's managed to get that on his
track. Did he then slide a bit of paper underneath it and put it out the window?
He was already outdoors. It's huge!
Fucking skinny bastard.
Why has he got it in his fucking hand?
Because he's insane.
Yeah.
Hope it's dead.
Just look at the wee picture of it here. Just
it doesn't look dead.
It doesn't. It's the size of the palm of somebody's hand.
That's probably just because it's stung him, but it's not coming off. It's just stuck there.
Yeah, totally.
It's like, that is his life now.
This is my life now.
I had two beehives in my room, in the walls of my room, essentially, but on the outside. And so, whenever I open my window, every time I open it, a bee would come out and check, and go, oh, what's going on here? And have a look and go, oh, it seems okay, I'll go back.
They do patrol.
Fucking bees. But they seem to have, they seem to have died this year already.
Oh.
Both of the hives. Because it was there again. It's been there for the last couple of years, but it was there again, and then there's no more bees. I'm like, oh, because I just leave them alone. Yeah. They don't bother me. Huh. I don't bother them.
It's a neighborly relationship you've got with bees.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Bees used to be one.
Bees are
right with bees, but wasps and hornets can fuck off.
They're the bastards of the world.
They didn't get the memo, but they can.
Yeah.
There's been an explosion of fucking, they're not midges, but mayflies or whatever they are. But I was walking back from training last week and down the burn, next to Lumberburn Industrial Street, and holy shit. It'd been bad the last few times, but this was solid all the way down to the turnoff. It was walking through smoke. Okay. There were so many of them. It's geez, oh. Yeah. And then they sort of follow you. Something warm. Leave me alone.
Have you guys seen the video of it? I think it's a BBC Scotland short thing. A guy went to a lock and spent a minute just getting bit by midges. He just stood still in this sort of midgy investive area and just took every bite. It looked painful.
Yeah.
Like, you don't think much when you're because you walk through.
Sounds like one of my segues.
Yeah.
Painful and not worth the effort.
It really was.
A minute long.
Yeah.
But you just, like, you think when you walk through somewhere midges, like, slap them off, do that. He just didn't do anything, just sat and stood still. And it's like, you see his face just go red. Because it's like, ooh. He did one just normally, and then he did another one naked. And that was much worse.
You gotta wonder why, the way, like, why?
He's off his he's off his fucking head. Oh. He's mental. People do stuff like that. It's really weird. Like, the guy with the wasp, like, I'm just going to get stung by that really terrifying wasp. It's like, why?
It's so we can know, though. It's so we can know that if we ever come across one of these things, that I'll probably just die.
I'll be able to, like, nah. Someone has to do it.
I hit the deck, cry myself to death, and hope they're afraid of tears.
Yeah, it's like archaic science is like, we have to do it the old-fashioned way this time. No, we're getting around it.
You better hope those cephalopods never figure out flight, or we're completely fucked.
Absolutely. Oh, no, game's over.
Oh, just absolutely.
Flight in oxygen.
Like helicopters, though.
Yeah.
Oh, could you imagine?
Oh, because it could act as propeller in the water, so it'd have it beneath them, and then they come up and then flip it over and then rain down their tentacle terror over the entire world. I'm a slave to alliteration. Well, shall we do another one?
Hold on, we've got to call Dave's fight first. It's a first round KO.
Aye.
It's a first round KO.
I'll either cry myself to death or that's that.
I want to make clear it was a majority draw, but the octopus was a champion in my fight, so the octopus retains the title.
Yeah, just to be clear.
I was in the blue corner.
Where's Tony Atlas talking about the corruption in the fight game when you need them? That's what I say.
It's corrupt! It's all corrupt!
Very emotional man, Tony Atlas.
James, you've mixed that far too much. It's just paper.
I'm so nervous.
It's not the fucking lottery. You are not a lottery machine.
You
don't work for Camelot. What is it?
This fight's over already.
What is it?
It's me versus the legendary Honey Badger.
Oh, mate. I'm
fucked.
That's happened, aye.
So,
wait, to make this different, we're going to make you Wolverine, because you've got the hair for it.
Yeah.
I said you're a Wolverine at the beginning. You're going to have adamantium claws.
Sound.
Adamantium bones, but you will not have the rehealing factor.
That's all right.
Okay. Mm.
Oh, okay. Ah.
So does that mean you just have, like, chunks of flesh torn out you, and that's that?
Yeah, I suppose. Actually, well, even with the healing factor, I might still take the honey badger. Yes. it'll just continually eat you forever.
I suppose if he takes the head, that's all he needs. That's the job done. The rest of the body will be fine, but if he just gets the head off. Can we do it in Pamplona rules?
In what rules?
Can we do Pamplona rules?
Pamplona?
Not Pamplona, was it? The honey badger, Pamplona.
Yeah.
You know, when we run, we do the run in the bills with the honey badger that we took the desert island. Can we do rules like that? I reckon I have a chance.
In what way? What, outrunning it?
Yeah.
Mate, no, it's not.
Have you seen them? Like, pretty quick.
No, but I mean, if we do the Pamplona, I'm not going to be the only one running. I'm not going to own my own. Fuck that. I need people to throw in front of it. Like, that's my game plan. I'd be like, right, if we're running, say the length of, like, in Dunfermline, you can run from the Glen to Carnegie Hall. I reckon I could survive that, because there are plenty of people I could just chuck in front of it. Like, nah, you're taking the hit for me. And by the time we get to the top, the honey badger will be tired out. So will that, to be fair. But I won't have been eating people. I'll be a little bit more light on my feet, so I could probably just...
Oh, but the honey badger wouldn't be eating people. It'd just be
savage.
Like Achilles tendons galore. Yeah.
Oh, you just go the quick. You think you just go with the quick?
That guy's balls off. Move on.
He's down.
I nipped that woman's eyelids out.
Do you think they do it? You know, when you get, like, search dogs, they give, like, a piece of clothing that's worn by the criminal. Do you think they just give something about that's been worn by me, or a bit of my flesh or my blood, and it smells that, and it only goes for me?
I think the bigger problem that you have is that I was going to suggest something like that, but I think the bigger problem is that I was going to suggest the Nonagon has no time limit. It goes on forever. Eventually,
he's going to get me.
He's going to catch up with you. He's like death. You know, eventually. Even Wolverine dies eventually.
I mean, I could literally get a flight to another country thinking I'm safe. Like, say I went to, like, Portugal. Yeah. Went into Portugal and I was like, felt safe for a couple of months. Then one day, going on to, like, a nice cafe outdoors, al dente and all that, and all of a sudden, paper drops, it's the honey badger. I'm fucked.
I'm going to call this one.
Yeah, it's not a quick fight.
James gets the decision win because everybody goes, fuck, this is taking too long, and he survived, so he gets all the glory, but yes. Eventually, in the end, he loses.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you still get the win on your record.
I get a technical win. That's all that matters.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a record it's before the, imminent death.
Yeah. You know what? If I die a winner, that's all that matters. That's what, like, if it's out of competition, it doesn't count. So I'll have that.
Some ASMR for you listeners. Oh, so I'm fighting a cute fluffy kitten.
Aww. Oh, fuck that. that's nonsense.
Yeah, I mean, it's not so much of a fight. It's more a moral moment. Of could you stamp it to death?
Oh, wait, for
now. Bear in mind,
a price. Now, is it just?
Yeah, it's a win on your record.
Yeah, it's a win on your record. Yeah. To be fair, Jamie, you are a cat owner, so that's a little bit more added pressure. Because you, I mean, you got to go home and look your cat in the eye tonight if you do say you'd stamp a kitten.
My old cat almost killed a kitten for daring to walk into his garden. Like, someone came to the door, like, when we were kids. This is when we were kids. Was like, oh, my kitten's gone missing. Can you tell me if you find her? Like, okay, cool. And then later on, I see the kitten in our front garden, and I go open the door, and I see Jasper, like, shaking his bum, about to pounce on the thing and rip it to shreds. Like, how dare you come in my garden without permission? So if I'm taking it by the morality of cats, they'd absolutely do it. half of them at least would definitely do it.
Yeah, that's just cats. Totally. Cats have no morals.
No,
cats are cats.
But I don't think I could do it. If it's just for a win of my record, I definitely couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus Christ, if I'm getting like £1 billion, yes, I'd probably. Well, even then. Yeah. Do I have. So I have to kill it. I can't just fight it.
No, well, I mean, you need to. You know what I mean? Like, fights need to end somehow. So you either need to strangle it out or...
Oh, man.
I feel bad for you.
Oh, my God, Dave. This is worse than Seven.
What's in the box, Jamie?
What's in the fucking box? That guy, Alexander, who got taken by a bear, he doesn't know any pain compared to this.
Yeah.
Me in this room right now, considering this, is worse. I'd rather go through what that fucking coward went through than think about this.
But Jamie, think of your competitive pride.
I have zero. You've seen me roll. I have zero competitive pride. As soon as I get tired, that's it. I'm done. I'm like, can't be bored of this shit anymore. Strangle the fuck out of me.
Absolutely. I think the only way that the kitten could win it is if it is you were stood at the kitchen bench and you were making yourself toast in the morning wearing, you know, boxers and a t-shirt, and then the kitten decides it would like to climb you.
Oh.
Because I've had that happen to me. Yeah, there's no pain like it.
Yeah.
Other than that.
You know what? I think I'm going to call this. Based on the moral dilemma we're facing, I think the kitten wins by forfeit.
I agree. I think the kitten wins by cute kitten eyes.
Yeah. It's like, I can't fight you.
Yeah, I couldn't do it. But I know as soon as I don't do it, the little shit will just jump on my face and claw at my eyeballs. But I still couldn't do it.
Anything for dreamies.
Our official sponsor. We're not really. We're really not.
For the final.
Okay, Dave.
Fight of the evening. Who we
got? Yeah, I've got a giant hair.
Oh, wow.
Aye.
Oh, you've got a good shout against giant hair.
Hairs are massive.
Hairs are massive. Especially
I've seen some up in the Highlands and they're fucking huge.
A giant one as well. Yeah.
How
massive.
Giant are we talking though? Because you see competitions with people who breed hairs that are like, they're bigger than me. So, you know, there's that.
Hey, James, that's 3 feet tall.
Yeah, I don't know.
Sorry, James, that's harsh.
don't tell people that. They all think I'm 5'6". They need to know the lie, Jamie. They need to believe that I'm taller than I am. I'm like Tom Cruise.
I think for...
Are you closeted gay as well?
Yeah.
Other Tom Cruise jokes.
Just come out. You'll be happier. You just be happier.
It's okay.
Hollywood isn't the same anymore, James.
You know what? I kind of feel better you used that one and not the Scientology route. I respect that.
I think if I'm calling it a giant hair, I'm going to make it as fair as possible. It's 6 foot tall.
Oh, excellent. Oh, man.
Wow. That's
the leg power that thing's going to have is going to be nuts.
Insane, yeah.
If that thing sidekicks you in the fucking chest, you're damn, you're done.
Yeah, game over.
That's a fair point, actually. All right, 3 foot. Oh. I think if it's 6 foot tall, I would need to rely on leg kicks and maybe a hidden knife.
Oh my god, yeah.
Is it like the hair from
6 foot tall? Its mouth's going to be huge.
Yeah.
Fuck, it would be. I'm not really. Yeah.
Do you think it's like the hair from the Monty Python film, The Holy Grail?
Oh, Caribanog?
Yeah.
That was a rabbit, though.
That was a rabbit, I suppose.
Yeah, totally.
But it could have the same sort of like mentality.
I think if it was 6 foot tall, it definitely would be.
Yeah. Yeah. One of us needs to smuggle in the holy hand grenade of Antioch, then, to help you out. Yeah. 1, 3, 5. 1, 2, 5. 1, 4, 3, 1 cup.
So, oh, God.
Oh, God, Dave. I did not like your odds against this hair.
Nah.
I'm thinking the same, actually.
It's a toughie.
Yeah.
You know, if it was just a regular sized hair, I'd be like, I'll just have a run-up and give it a good boot, and you'd be all right. But
here's the thing,
I mean, if you give this one a run-up and a boot, it'll just sink into
its... Here's a relative intelligent. People have... are probably more intelligent than rabbits, because they're like...
Oh, I'd say so, yeah.
And... or at least the same. People have pet rabbits, yet you wouldn't feel as bad about killing a hare as you would about killing a kitten. Or a cat. Let's say a cat, so we're the same age.
That's a fair point, aye.
Yeah. Just like people eat, go like, oh, it's terrible people are killing whales. It's like, you know, killing a dog. They're intelligent. Probably more intelligent than dogs. But pigs are more intelligent than dogs, and we fucking eat them.
They're really tasty, though.
They are very tasty. They shouldn't be so fucking tasty.
It's their own fault.
Yeah. It's their own fault. Tasty bastards.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I bet a dog would be fucking delicious, but I just couldn't do it.
I think I would call this. That's a tough one, though. Oh, it's a toughie. I might just favour the hair.
Yeah.
A little bit.
I made the mistake straight away by saying it's 6 foot tall.
Yeah, you said the
points of the mouth being enormous, the legs being more powerful. Like,
yeah.
If it's scale, like... You know.
And if it gets you on the ground, you are knackered, because it'll just go on top of you and just go floom.
Just fucking kick me to death.
Yeah.
No.
Stampy, stamp, stamp. Yeah, I'd be fucked. I've made a terrible, terrible mistake.
Yeah.
No. I think it's hair by first round savaging.
I agree.
You're getting rinsed.
First round head bite.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh.
Well, I think that brings us to the end of tonight's proceedings.
So if we don't walk out. None of us have walked out of this with a winning record, have we?
No.
Well, you sort of did, but at the end of it all, you're going to die anyway. So.
I've got a draw. By the Octopus retains, so it's worthless.
I'm a win and a loss in the Nonagon now. So I think this is my first goal in the Nonagon. Proud of that.
That's
a good record. It's a good record to hold.
It's your first loss in the Nonagon.
Yeah, my first win and my first loss. Yeah. My first ever appearance in the Nonagon, I'm sure.
What?
Yeah.
How's that? You've never been...
I don't think I've fought anyone in the Nonagon.
Oh, as in you yourself.
Oh, you yourself.
Yeah, as in me.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I was like, what are you talking about?
Had a stroke?
I mean, I've put in many a fight myself, but I've never fought myself in the Nonagon. So, you know what? Proud of that. I'll take a one-on-one record
next
at this stage.
Next week I'm going to get you to fight yourself in the Nonagon. And you'll lose.
It's like me in the mirror over there, like, doof, hit the ground. Yeah,
well, I just also just add at the end of that I don't approve of anybody fighting any animals. Please don't do it. We've been laughing the whole way through. It's not as funny as it would seem.
Jesus. So it comes to that time of the night where, first of all, I have to ask Dave for the socials again.
Oh, bollocks. Get us on Facebook at Fife Club, Twitter at Fife Club Pod, Instagram at Fife Club.
Yeah, or just have Fife Club, I think it is. Fife Club.
Fife Club on Instagram. Go to our shiny, lovely, wonderful website, fiveclub.co.uk. Email us at ken at fiveclub.co.uk. Or just fucking Google us, which I may as well have done there because I couldn't remember any of those. I'd like to these two for any form of approval.
Excellent. Well, I think it's also that final part of the night where I have to ask James, what's the motto for this week?
You might win on the day, but you will never win the war against the honey badger.
I think that's the motto of this entire podcast.
Yeah.
All right, well, good night.
Good night.
Good night.